Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on rare earths and forbidden cures right after this. You know, during the 1970s, an obscure black college professor down at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, while working on a grant, developed a unique marketing plan for agricultural products. The plan was aimed at poor and rural black landowners in the South who owned small acreages. The goal was to keep these landowners on the land by producing produce for sale to the public at retail and to generate an income that would support a family. It's called the Whatley Program. And the Whatley Program was so successful that it became known as the Whatley Program, How to Make $100,000 per year on 25 acres or less. That was Professor Booker T. Whatley. Now, there are more than 4,000 of these small family enterprises operating all over the United States today. And the law school has taken the Whatley program and added the 15 agricultural laws of the Bible and the 17 financial laws from the scripture so that you can practice all of the laws of the United States, all of the laws of your state, and all of the laws of the scripture and make a good living for you and your family at the same time. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now, the number 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, my $100,000 class is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto that email machine and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the doctors, the allopathic doctors in the medical wars in the last century. Well, I should say century before last, now that we're in the 21st century. Back in the early 1800s and the climax of the war around 1900, the allopathic medical doctors won the war. And that's why we have the medical services or the medical system that we have in America today, and indeed in the entirety of the Western world. The allopathic medical doctors with the scientific principles won the war. Now, if you're like the average Joe Sixpack American, you believe in science. And you believe in medicine. Well, let's ask the question, if science and medicine are so good, why do we have so much sickness and disease? Because in 1918, 60% of Americans were healthy, 40% were sick. Today, 99% of us are sick and 1% of us are healthy. We've had the allopathic medical model since 1900. Why is it that now 99% of us are sick instead of just 60% in 1918? If science is so good, why is it that President Nixon declared war on cancer in 1972 and then put $2 billion of taxpayer money into the war on cancer? And today, 35 years later, we have more cancer, not less. We're spending more money, not less. We have less of a chance of finding a cure to cancer today than we have ever had in the past, using the scientific principle. Think about that for a minute. Less chance today of finding the cure to cancer than we had 35 years ago. Why do I say that? Listen, if in 35 years, spending billions of dollars, you haven't found it in 35 years, it should tell you that you're on the wrong trail, shouldn't it? Think about it. In 1900, nobody's got a war on cancer. Cancer's not even on the radar screen. Only one person in 33 is going to develop cancer in his lifetime in the United States. Today, in 2006, 100 years later, it's one out of every two, 50%. And they tell us that in another 14 years, by the year 2020, it'll be one out of one. Every person in America is going to develop cancer in their lifetime. Doesn't that tell you you're on the wrong trail? Not only haven't you found a cure, the methodology, the scientific methodology that you have believed in over the past 35, 50, 75, or 100 years that's going to deliver the answer hasn't delivered the answer. But you say, well, just one more bet. It's got to come up this time. It's like a gambler on a crap table. You know, you've already lost your shirt. You got enough money to make one more bet. Why don't you take the money that you got left and take a cab home? Because after the next roll of the dice, you won't have any money and you'll have to walk home. But the guy who's the intrepid gambler says, no, sir, we got to stay in here and we got to see it through. And so scientists and doctors, they're going to see it through. They're going to work in the scientific realm until they found a cure to cancer. It's the least that we can do for the American people. Sounds like President Bush. I'm just here to protect the American people. Protect us from what? There's a greater threat, boys and girls, from the hospital than there is from the war in Iraq. I showed you that in the last program. You're crying about your 2,500 dead in Iraq. Listen, those people in Iraq are in a safer environment than you are in the hospital in America today. 53 times safer in Iraq, getting shot at and getting blown up with IUDs than they are in a hospital in the United States. Statistically, that's the way that game is played. I didn't make it that way. I'm just a reporter. Just telling you. And remember, those numbers came out of the Harvard Medical School. These are the numbers that the medicos admit to. They don't tell you the whole truth. The truth is, they just reported half of it. It's really twice that bad. But we'll just take their numbers. That's what I used in the last program. I just took the numbers that they gave us. The guy that reported it originally was Dr. Joel Wallach. Now, Wallach is a naturopath and a veterinarian. I told you about Wallach, didn't I? Wallach says that disease is caused by nutritional deficiencies. And in chapter 10 of his book called Rare Earths, he has a chapter here called Glacial Milk, Plant-Derived Colloidal Minerals. Here's what he says. The human pursuit of health and longevity has been long and torturous. The answer is seemingly just beyond reach, just beyond comprehension. Doctors and scientists and alchemists and priests and kings have been frustrated in their pursuit of the philosopher's stone, the fountain of youth, the fruit of life, the pharmaceuticals. Ironically, the answer was just underfoot wherever they went. The minerals in the soil was the answer to health. Remember, it was God that said, dust thou art, and unto dust shall you return. We're made up out of the elements of the earth. And you have to have those elements in your body, boys and girls. Your body is built of iron and copper and phosphorus and magnesium. And you have to have those minerals, and if you don't have them, you die. Life ceases. It's just that simple. But generally, you get sick before you die. And the sickness is the signal that says something's wrong. The car doesn't just quit. It starts missing first. And a car that's missing says it needs to be tuned up. It needs service. So if we consider the European, the Negro, the Chinese, the American, the highly civilized man, the savage, the rich, the poor, the inhabitant of the city and the dwellers in the country, each and every one of them so different from one another in every respect, but they agree on this one point, and they have the same duration, the same interval of time to run through. Between the cradle and the grave, that the difference of race, climate, of food, of comforts makes no difference in the duration of life. It'll be seen at once that the duration of life depends neither upon the habits, nor the customs, nor the quality of food, that nothing can change the fixed laws which regulate the number of our years. That's a quotation from George Buffon, B-U-F-F-O-N, an 18th century naturalist, put to paper the truth of his time. Unfortunately, a truth is limited by the number of facts available. And it was unfortunate that Buffon did not know about the 90 essential nutrients, the 60 minerals, the 16 vitamins, the 12 essential amino acids, and the 3 essential fatty acids. If you got a pen and paper, write those down, boys and girls. Pretty important to you. There are 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. One more time, 60 minerals. Get down 60 minerals. 16 vitamins. 16 vitamins. 12 amino acids. They're called essential amino acids. There's 12 of them. And 3 essential fatty acids that are required daily by humans. Every day you have to have them, all 90. His observations and writings essentially doomed 18th, 19th, and 20th century man to pharmaceuticals and the surgeon's knife, and it wiped his scientific and medical contemporary slates clean from any notion that essential nutrients and rare earths are required to attain and fulfill one's genetic potential for health and longevity. So we already know the common denominators of the long-lived creatures. They're few, simple, and very clear. Their basic truth for health and longevity boils down to the routine daily availability of a highly usable source of 90 essential nutrients, of which the most critical are the plant-derived colloidal minerals. Simple, yes, but it works and works and works. You see, the plant-derived colloidal minerals start in the parent rock and frigid heights of great mountain ranges, the Caucasus, the Himalayas, the Andes. Ageless glaciers scrape, grind, and pulverize from 2 to 6 inches of parent rock from the mountain surface every year into fine dust or rock. This is called flour, and it is carried from under the glaciers by water, melted from the glacial ice by the friction and the heat of the moving glacier. These great glaciers began retreating about 14,000 years ago, and yet many thousands of glaciers still lie heavy on the surface of the earth. The state of Alaska alone has 30,000 square miles of glacial ice. Glaciers basically are slow-moving rivers of ice flowing down the slopes and precipices of the world's highest mountains and are conceived from the weight of millions of tons of accumulating snow. This glacial ice flows continuously like a conveyor belt, pulled by gravity and pushed by the ever-accumulating snow in a region called the accumulation zone. In the leading regions of the advancing glacier, or the ablation zone, the glacier gives up ice through melting, evaporation, and loss of great chunks of ice known as icebergs. The equilibrium line separates the two distinct zones of the glacier. If the formation and loss of ice is equal, the glacier is stable with no advance or retreat. If the production or loss of ice changes, advance or retreat occurs. Advancing glacial ice grinds, scrapes, and shears bedrock, boulders, and gravel alike under millions of tons of ice, pushing ahead of itself a terminal moraine or a ridge of mud and gravel. Glacial meltwater flows under the glacier through eroded channels and tunnels, lubricating the glacial flow and springing from under the glacier's face as a highly mineralized opaque water called glacial milk. This mineral composition of glacial milk is highly variable from one glacier to the next, depending upon the mineral content of the parent rock of the mountain that it came out of. The great common denominator of the glacial milk that nourishes the long-lived cultures is that they contain 60 to 72 minerals. There are thousands of glaciers in the world that produce vast quantities of glacial milk. However, they may only have 3 to 20 minerals in them, not the number required to fulfill the human genetic potential for longevity. The color of glacial milk is highly variable, ranging from pearl gray, silvery gray, to white, to bluish white, to a brownish gray, again depending upon the mineral combinations of the parent rock. Strictly speaking, this glacial milk is both a suspension of finely ground rock dust of the particle size of clay, called rock flour, and a solution of soluble minerals from the portions of rock that is initially soluble, plus those minerals rendered soluble during the hydrolysis of pulverized rock. The parent rocks of the glacial milks found in the long-lived cultures are essentially all metamorphic. They range from light-colored granite type through a garnet mica schist, including gem-quality garnets. Of interest here is the fact that medicine uses gemstones, including garnets, as therapeutic medicines, to dark-banded metamorphic rock, which is rich in dark mafic minerals, including hornblende and biotite mica. A mineral analysis of the suspended rock flour from the Giltner Glacier of Hunza gives an indirect look into the rock type being pulverized by the glacier. Suspended solids in glacial milk ranges in quantity from 3.2 parts per million to 7,100 parts per million, depending upon the type of parent rock under the glacier. The softer the rock, the more rock flour is produced. The soft metamorphic rocks from the Caucasus, Himalaya, and Andes Mountains lend themselves perfectly to the production of vast quantities of suspended rock flour, which are found in their glacial milks. Now, there is an upper limit to the amount of dissolved minerals that can be acquired by drinking water, whether it's glacial milk or just a mineral water from California. So it is the suspended solids or the rock flour that makes the difference for the long-lived 100-year centenarians. The long-lived centenarians drink the heavily mineralized water containing large quantities of rock flour known as glacial milk, to be sure. However, they're only able to absorb and biologically utilize from 5 to 12% of these suspended metallic colloids or ground-up rocks. The bottom line for the centenarians to reach their genetic potentials of 120 to 140 years of age is, in fact, their utilization of this glacial milk as irrigation water. You see, they take great pain to flood and then uniformly cover each terrace with glacial milk so that each millimeter of soil and each crop plant has access to this rock flour, which forms a white powder layer on the field surface after the water is absorbed. This rock flour is then plowed into the soil. Plants are then able to efficiently convert these metallic minerals from the glacial milk into highly usable organic plant-derived colloidal minerals. For 2,000 to 4,000 years, depending upon the culture, they have built stone terraces, filled them by hand, basket by basket, with the highly mineralized muck and silt dredged by hand from the bottoms of the glacial rivers, and have irrigated with glacial milk, day by day, month by month, year by year, generation after generation, since their beginnings. And, for their reward, they have been blessed with optimal health, without hypertension, heart disease, stroke, aneurysms, arthritis, osteoporosis, dental disease, cataracts, diabetes, cancer, lupus, repetitive motion syndrome, obesity, birth defects, hyperactive children, learning disabilities, ADD, depression, drug problems, bad seeds, or crime. These centenarians return everything that came from the soil back to the soil in their terraces to keep the organic material level very high. Plant debris after their harvest is not burned but composted. Animal manure, and children walk the roads with baskets looking for animal droppings to put in their fields, from stalls and barns is faithfully put into the fields. This organic material feeds the soil organisms, the bacteria and the fungi, which are able to further break down and hydrolyze the rock flour into usable forms for assimilation by the crop plants. The crops of these centenarians, the wheat, millet, buckwheat, barley, potatoes, cabbage, tomatoes, spinach, turnips, apples, apricots, grapes, nuts, and so on are able to absorb the converted metallic minerals from the land and then process them into organic plant-derived colloidal minerals. Now, these plant-derived colloidal minerals are 98% available for absorption and biological use by animals and people. The plant-derived colloidals are, in fact, the form in which animals and humans store, utilize, and transport minerals in their bodies. And like almost all great discoveries, the use of glacial milk for irrigation was an accident. The centenarians did not seek these places for longevity. Like the kings of old, they rather picked them as secure havens from outside marauders and for year-round sources of water. The standard farm in the world has veins of minerals coursing through them like ribbons of chocolate through chocolate ripple ice cream. So one field blessed with a high mineral content can produce wheat with some mineral content and some wheat with little or none. The lack of uniformity and the disparity in mineral content of our fields has produced spotty areas of heavy crops interspersed with areas of limited growth. The American farmers are aware of this problem, so they installed satellite navigation systems, or LORENs, to accurately relocate these sparse areas of their field so they can apply more fertilizer, which does result in more uniform crop production, that is, tons and bushels, but the mineral value of these groups is near zero. Many people are aware today that they need nutrient supplementation to augment their daily diets, to assure their intake of the 90 essential nutrients, but they are frustrated in these results that they get from the huge variety of multiple vitamin mineral programs that are available to them. Vitamins are pretty much the same. They're fat-soluble and water-soluble vitamins, and they're about equally available in just about any multiple vitamin tablet. Minerals, however, are a different story. There are three basic types of these minerals. Remember? 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 3 fatty acids. Now, metallic minerals include eggshell, oyster shell, calcium carbonate, limestone, dolomite, mineral salt, seawater, and Great Salt Lake water, mineral oxides, iron oxide, copper oxide, vortex waters such as seabed minerals, soils which are usually clay, seabed clays and clays, rock flowers, and various acids such as rhodolites and tums. Typically, metallic minerals are found in tablets and powder as gluconate, calcium gluconate, zinc gluconate, lactate sulfates, carbonates and oxides, iron oxide. Metallic minerals, despite wild claims to the contrary, are only 8 to 12% biologically available to animals and humans. After attaining the age of 35 to 40 years, the availability of metallic minerals to humans drops to 3 to 5%. Let me pause right here. You go out here and you say, geez, I got to have some minerals. So you grind up some rock and you eat it. Very, very little of that can be assimilated by your body. But if you take the same rock flour and you put it on the soil, and then you let the spinach and the rutabagas and the potatoes, let them eat it. Plants can take that fine flour and convert that fine flour to organic minerals. Minerals come in two forms, inorganic and organic. And boys and girls, 98% of the organic minerals are available to you. But only 3 to 12% of the inorganic are available to you. So right away, it doesn't take a real mental giant to figure out that we've got to have plant-derived minerals. Let me tell you a little story here about seed. I've been mentioning the seed to you from time to time. Now, one of the things that we discover when we deal with seed is that open pollinated seed produces more nutrition for us than does the genetically modified or the hybrid seed. Remember our friend Adolf Steinbrom of Fairbanks, Iowa? Well, he put this matter into perspective, remember, by having samples of corn tested for nutrients usually added to commercial seeds or feeds. And compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states in a recent year, Steinbrom's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, 205% more manganese, and the same result has also been seen in the content of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc. Now take a look at people who have gray hair. Gray hair. What causes that? Copper deficiency causes gray hair. Copper deficiency. And as you get older, your body is less able to utilize the copper that you're taking in. And the foods that you're getting out of the supermarket that are produced from hybridized seed don't have the copper, and so as we get older and older, our hair turns white. Now you can reverse that white hair. You don't need Grecian formula 44. You need copper. Copper supplements. You got Alzheimer's disease. You don't need pharmaceuticals from Merck or Pfizer. You need selenium. Now, the allopathic medical doctors don't make money by selling food and food supplements. They make money by selling drugs. And so the scientific process has delivered a money-making program. And the reason that the medical doctors won the medical wars is because the other two, remember the eclectics and the homeopathic physicians, were working with foods. There's no money there. So the doctors and the professions moved to allopathic medicine because that's where the money was. Picture this. Let's suppose some guy's got Alzheimer's disease. And this is bad. And it requires lots of care. Lots of time, effort, and energy. Nursing home staff. Drugs are now on the market to combat, not to cure. Just to combat this thing called Alzheimer's. I don't know how many people have it, 3 million, 4 million, here in the United States. It produces billions and billions of dollars worth of treatments and drug sales and doctor's visits and nursing home care and so on. I mean, it's worth a lot of money. Now let's take this Dr. Wallach. He comes along and says, well, what causes this is a selenium deficiency. We didn't have this until 1979. And it's caused by, and he goes through it in this book over here, and he says it's caused by, and here's why you've got it, and then it's as exacerbated by a selenium deficiency. And so if you'd feed these people selenium, they'd get over that. Now the other day I got to looking here in our storeroom and I saw some bottles of selenium. So you can buy this stuff on the shelf. And so there's 500 of these capsules, and I think there are 200 milligrams of selenium in each capsule, if I remember reading the package label. And I got it on the shelf, and they cost about $10. And you take one of those pills every day. And remember, there's 500 of these pills in the bottle. I think it's 500 or it's 200, one of them. And so that's a, let's just say there's 200, it's a 200 day supply, and it probably costs $10-$15. So for $30 a year, I can take the selenium and avoid the Alzheimer's disease. $30 a year. But if I develop Alzheimer's disease, I could be worth $100,000 to the medical community. Now, just picture yourself as a doctor and ask yourself, well, would I rather sell Gordon $30 worth of selenium or $100,000 worth of treatment after he gets Alzheimer's disease? How do I come out best? You know, in looking at the war over in Iraq, I don't know about the rest of you people out there, but I'm not making diddly squat off the war, and I'm really bummed out about it. But the people at Halliburton are making billions of dollars off of the war, and so is Boeing and Lockheed Martin, the Carlyle Group, people who are in the defense industry. I had a student here, and he used to work for Lockheed Martin, and he quit. And then he came out here to the farm, and he decided the farming doesn't pay. So he went back to Lockheed Martin, and he said, I'm really sorry that I sold my defense stocks and bought gold, because the defense stocks are where the profit is. And he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. He's exactly right. If you want to make money, you want Lockheed Martin. You want money, you want Exxon. But if you want good health, then you need these minerals and vitamins. You need the farm. You need a place where you can grow good, organic, open-pollinated seeds and get the nutrients that you need to give you the health and the longevity that you want. Now, you see, I save $9,200 a year in health care costs or health insurance costs because I don't have any health insurance. And that's because I spend $30 a year on selenium. Now, I don't want to tell you how to live your life. I don't care whether you spend thousands on health insurance or a few bucks on minerals. Wallach was roundly criticized. And the medical doctors say, well, you're just pissing your money away. And I mean literally pissing your money away, because the medical doctor's claim against Wallach is that these minerals go through your body and they take urine samples and they find these minerals in your urine. Well, excuse me, boys and girls, but when you sit down to eat dinner and you drink a glass of milk, don't you urinate that milk out later? Aren't you just pissing your money away buying milk? Well, that's what the medical doctors are saying about these vitamins and minerals, that you get all these vitamins and minerals in your food. Excuse me again. Let me bring you back down to earth here. Adolf Steinbrum of Fairbanks, Iowa said he wanted to put this matter by having samples of corn tested for nutrients, which are usually added to commercial feeds. When it was compared to 4,000 samples of hybrid corn, boys and girls, hybrid corn is what you're buying in the Kellogg's Corn Flakes. That's hybrid corn. It's not open pollinated. In fact, it's getting worse than that. I saw some numbers the other day. I had to quit buying corn altogether. I can't get open pollinated corn here to feed my cows. Well, you can get it, but you can't get it guaranteed to be open pollinated. They mix it. So we've got this GMO corn. Now, this GMO corn, it has less nutrients than the hybridized corn, which has less nutrients than the open pollinated. So Steinbrun's corn, the open pollinated corn, tested in 10 Midwest states. Steinbrun's open pollinated corn contains 75% more crude protein. That's what I want to buy. I want to buy corn with 75% more crude protein than the other corn on the market. And boys and girls, if you're buying the other corn on the market, you're getting 75% less crude protein. And on the last program, I think I told you the story about the pig farmer. And the pig farmer whose pigs were dying, they were fat and they were healthy looking, but they were falling over dead from a nutritional deficiency called protein deficiency. So the argument that you're getting nutrients out of the foods that you're buying at the supermarket is a fiction. That's not true. It gets worse than that. You see, of those 16 vitamins that we're talking about, when you open a can of spinach, it's been heated. Remember, it had to be heated in order to can it. When you heat food above 132 degrees, it destroys the vitamins. It doesn't destroy the minerals, if in fact there were any minerals in it. But it does destroy the vitamins. So those 16 vitamins that you thought that you were buying in the can of Popeye spinach aren't there. And that milk, it's been heated to 160 degrees or so to pasteurize it. It destroyed the enzyme that you've got to have, plus without the enzyme, you can't utilize the calcium. So they're telling you the truth. This milk that you buy from Mid-America Dairies is loaded with calcium, but it's unavailable to your body. It's like glacial milk is loaded with minerals, but your body can only assimilate 5 to 12% of it. You've got to have organic colloidal minerals, children. And that comes from plants that are grown on healthy, nutritive soil. And that means that soil has to have the nutrients in it, because if the nutrients aren't in it, the plant can't get them out. If you grow spinach on soil that has zero iodine, there will be zero iodine in the spinach. The spinach cannot get out of the soil what is not there. It's just that simple. Now, the plant can convert the inorganic minerals into organic minerals, and that's the purpose for the plants. Hey, I got to give you a reminder about this time that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and we recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Keep in mind that these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or that we recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily 100% endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or a local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. And I guess I should give a plug here to Mr. Joel Wallach. Joel Wallach is a veterinarian by trade. Now he's a naturopathic doctor. He's what we call the alternative doctor, or a physician, as Luke in the Bible, you know, Luke the physician. You've got allopathic medical doctors. Jesus spoke about allopathic medical doctors. There was a woman who had leukemia, and then she went to the medical doctors until she ran out of money. and then they threw her away, you know, like she had AIDS, herpes, or VD. So she came to Jesus, and he said that he had felt some energy or virtue go out from him. And she had touched him, and she had been healed. That's a little bit different than using minerals and vitamins and so on. But nevertheless, she had been healed. And the moral to the story is there has always been these various schools of medical practice. And in the Bible, you'll see mentioned many herbs that are used. Mandrake, for instance. Rachel was infertile, and she used mandrake to increase her fertility. Things like that. There are a number of those that are mentioned in the scripture. I've forgotten how many. I think there's 84 of these herbs, herbal remedies. Dr. Schultz, you know, uses herbal remedies. Well, these are these herbalists, and it's another medical school. That's the naturopathic school of physicians. Remember, they lost the medical war back in the last century. And that's why they're hated today, and they're hounded constantly. Well, this Wallach's one of them. So he and his wife wrote this book, and it's really a neat book. It's called Rare Earths, Rare Earths, Forbidden Cures. Rare Earths, Forbidden Cures. I think you can get a copy of it if you just write to P.O. Box 1222, Benita, California, 91908. You might want to know how much it costs, so you might want to call in advance. The number is 1-800-755-4656. Again, that's 1-800, toll-free, 1-800-755-4656. And I always remember this guy. He did this seminar called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. It's on audio tape. And it's $30. Send him $30 and tell him you want that. Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I mean, he'll just laugh you into hysterics. Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And then while you're at it, you might ask him for this book called Rare Earths. I think it's well worth your time. I can only touch, you know, it's 500 pages. In a program, I can only cover 7 pages in a program if I really get after it and I don't have any commentary. So, you know, I'm probably citing maybe 5 pages in an hour's program out of a subject matter that may have 50 or 75 pages in a chapter. So I'm just kind of hitting the highlights. I'm just kind of skimming across the top of it over here to give you an idea of the content of this book. 500 pages, 495, I think. 500-page book. What's it cost? I don't know. Call him and ask. If it's $100, it's cheap. If it's 150, it's a little pricey, but it'll still be worth it. I imagine it's probably $30 or $40. Just guessing, just looking at the book over here, $30, $40. That's chicken feed. I have already told you more out of this book than the $40 that you'd be spending on. If what you just heard here on the air isn't worth $40, you should go turn on to sex and rock and roll. I call that drug, sex, and rock and roll. This isn't for you, probably. There's an address here. It's P.O. Box 1222, Benita, California, 91908, and the phone number 1-800-755-4656. The book is called Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures. Now, we're on chapter 10, and we're talking about this thing of glacial milk. Glacial milk. And this glacial milk is available. I mean, these old people that live to be 100 years old, you know, up in the Himalaya Mountains. You ever read these stories, you know, about these, they call them centenarians. And there's little groups of them. You'll find them over in Russia, and you find them in the Andes Mountains. I think over in the Himalaya Mountains is another group of them over there, and they call them Hunses. And, you know, they get several places where these people have been found. And you find that a higher number of these people live to be 100 years old than the general population around the earth, around the world. And so guys like Wallach and others, you know, said, well, gee, what are these people eating? What are they doing that's different than the rest of us? And so Wallach, being a veterinarian, curing animal diseases, see, animals have to be cured. I mean, we can't dink around with a cow that can't be cured. If she's got a malady, she's got 7 days to get cured, or she gets a number 9 overcoat with cellophane wrapping. And so we'd like to cure these animals, and so what we do is we have mineral supplement blocks, mineral blocks we call them, and they weigh 50 pounds. And they're 85% salt and 15% minerals, and so we stuff all these minerals, these 60 minerals, into this block. Cow goes by, she takes 3 licks and goes out and eats grass. Wallach said what you should do is go down to your local feed store, buy a mineral block, put it on the dining room table, walk by it, take 3 licks, and go about your business. You know, take your kids out to soccer practice. When you bring them back for soccer practice, parade them back through the dining room, have all the kids line up, take 3 licks off the mineral block, and walk out. And solve your disease problem. I know it sounds too simplistic, but then, you know, that's the way life is. Now, most people would rather spend $9,500 a year or so on health insurance. And I mentioned for the break that the medical doctors are just really castigating Wallach over here, and Wallach's got a good response. I liked it. He said, well, would you rather spend $1 a day on minerals and piss it down the toilet, or would you rather spend $9,500 a year on health insurance and die at age 58? Like the medical doctors do. I mean, it's a choice that you got to make. So my choice is, I think I'll just go ahead and buy the minerals. Your body will use, let's just suppose for the sake of our discussion here, that your body is full of copper and iron. And you take these copper and iron supplements. Well, where does the excess copper and iron supplements go? It goes out in your urine. It just goes down the toilet. But your body has 100% of all of the iron and copper that it needs, which is two of these trace elements that your body needs every day. Okay, so what's the problem? One of these days, your body, as it's using this iron, runs a little low, and as you just keep filling it up, your body is always full. If your body is always full of these trace elements, you'll live longer and have less disease. It may not be that you don't have any disease, but you'll have a lot less. And after all, that's what you're bragging about when you go down and get your flu shot. You go down and you get your flu shot, and you come back, and you promptly get the flu, and you say, my God, can you imagine how bad the flu would have been if I hadn't got the flu shot? Might have killed me. Well, the flu shot sure as hell didn't protect you from the flu, did it? And that ought to be a clue to you that it probably doesn't work. They don't, and it doesn't, and it's a waste of your money, but you don't mind spending $25 on a flu shot. Why don't you consider colloidal minerals? Now, colloidal, it's spelled C-O-L-L-O-I-D-A-L, colloidal. Colloidal chemistry isn't new, but it is not widely known about or understood by the general public. Simply said, a colloid refers to a substance that exists as ultrafine particles that are suspended in a medium of different matter. The colloidal state in the state of a solute, mineral, or other substance, such as a paint pigment, in a solution when its molecules do not separate into atoms. As with a true solution, sodium chloride or salt separates into separate sodium and chloride atoms while in solution, but rather they remain grouped together to form solute particles. The presence of these inorganic colloidal particles, which are approximately 1/100,000th to 1/10,000,000th of a centimeter in diameter, about 400,000ths to 4,000,000ths of an inch, can often be detected by means of an electron microscope. As a result of the grouping of the molecules, a solute in the colloidal state cannot pass through a suitable semi-permeable membrane and gives rise to negligible osmotic pressure. They will pass through filter paper. Depression of freezing point and elevation of boiling point effects. While these ultrafine particles of the colloid are just barely larger than most molecules and so small they can't be seen with the naked eye, about 1 billion of these colloid particles would fit into a cubic, 1/10th of an inch. A billion of these would fit into 1/10th of a cubic inch. The solution part of a colloid provides a solid gas, or liquid medium in which the colloid particles are suspended. The suspended particles in a colloid can also be a solid, gas, or liquid. Let me give you an illustration. You ever heard of colloidal silver? Well, the boy upstairs, he's got a colloidal silver generator. And what you do is you pass an electrical current through a chunk of silver. And you suspend this silver coin into the medium of water with a couple of electrodes hooking onto it. And you run this electric charge through it. And as you're watching, you will see the glass that this clear water is in turns to a milky color. And what's happening is it is taking silver off of this silver chunk, usually a silver round, and it's suspending it in the water. Now, this makes an antiviral and an antifungal and an antibacterial, it's a bactericide. It kills fungus, viruses, and bacteria. So every day I take a little of this colloidal silver. I just drink a little of it, you know. And the same thing with charcoal. You know, you take activated charcoal. This activated charcoal will absorb 60,000 times its own weight in toxic materials. It's quite a little story, this colloidal silver and activated charcoal and colloidal minerals and so on. See, it's quite a little topic. And there's a chapter here called Chapter 10 that Dr. Wallach talks about it in greater detail. I haven't got the time. You know, we could spend hours, I guess, on this thing called colloids or colloidal minerals. But he tells you quite a little story. And then once you grasp the story, then, oh, well, then that kind of makes a lot of sense. And so what they're doing here is that they're taking these minerals and they're suspending them in water, sorting them out, and then they're putting them into pills, and then you can take these pills, tablets, you know, capsules. We call those mineral supplements, vitamin and mineral supplements. That's what they're doing. They're making these supplements. Now, you know, if you can't get your minerals any other way, then take a nail and put it on the grinder, and then grind it into powder, stick it into a glass, and drink it. But you can't absorb very much that way. Your body can absorb a little bit, surprisingly, but not very much. For practical purposes, you can't get your iron off of a nail. But there are ways of getting that into its colloidal form so that your body can assimilate it. And that's what he's talking about in this chapter, the colloidal form. So, the book again is called Rare Earths. I'm going to keep reminding you, Rare Earths by Dr. Joel Wallach. He's also got a wife, I guess. Well, I guess we should say something about his wife because it says, and Ma Lan. That's his wife's name, M-A-L-A-N, Wallach. Her last name is Wallach, too. Anyway, she's a medical doctor, M.D. and M.S. I don't know what an M.S. is. But this Wallace is full of B.S. because it says right here, Joel D. Wallach, B.S. But in addition to the BS, he's also a DVM and an ND. Now, the DVM and the ND mean a lot more than the BS. So if you've been listening to a lot of BS, Joel Wallach's got BS, but he's also a veterinarian. And that's what I liked so much about him, because veterinarians are such smart guys. When they come out, they can cure your cow, and they can do it right away, because if they don't, we don't call them back a second time, because they didn't make the same money. People that get sick keep going back to the doctor. The doctor doesn't make them well, doesn't cure their disease, but they keep going back because they haven't got any other choice and they don't know what else to do. We here have a choice. See, on the farm, what we do before the cow dies, we kill her, send her off to the slaughterhouse, and let you people eat her at home. Now, there's also a thing called chelated minerals. Chelate, K-E-Y-L-A-T-E, is spelled C-H-E-L-A-T-E-D. Minerals were created by the livestock industry back in the 1960s to ensure maximum availability of dietary minerals to animals being fed and fattened for market. The original chelating agent used was calcium, EDTA, a man-made amino acid that was invented by the Germans just prior to World War II. To antidote arsenic and lead exposure in chemical warfare attacks. calcium EDTA is used today for intravenous chelation therapy to clean out arterial obstructions. I did that. Yeah, I did that. They stick this needle in your arm and they run this solution through and it melts all of the plaque out of your arteries. It's one of the few things that the American Medical Association, the allopathic doctors, have come up with that actually benefits mankind. It actually cures heart attack and stroke. And that's why they don't use it. They invented it, but they don't use it because, you see, it's too cheap, doesn't make enough money, and the money is made in surgery. Kids, you know, when you have a heart attack and they take you in and give you a Roto-Rooter job, charge you $100,000 for bypass surgery, that's where the money's at. Chelation, no money in it. I think I paid them $60 per treatment, went in once a week. And in about six or eight weeks, just 6 or 8 treatments, the plaque is all gone out of your arteries. Then you can go back to McDonald's and plug them up again. See, what you do is you go to McDonald's and you eat all this trans fatty acids and all this trash, plug up your arteries and veins, and then you go over here to the allopathic medical doctor who gives you chelation therapy, melt it all out, and you keep the cycle up that way. I know it doesn't make sense, but then that's the way we do things here in America. So remember, this term chelated literally means claw, which is used to describe the process by which an amino acid, protein, or enzyme are proteins. You know, enzymes are proteins that do work. It's wrapped around the mineral molecule, which enhances the bioavailability of the metallic mineral. Chelated minerals are approximately 40% bioavailable, a significant improvement over the original metallic minerals. Your septic tank in the backyard gets the other 60%. Yeah, your septic tank in the backyard. And that's right. Most of these minerals that you're taking goes out in your urine, but your body absorbs that 40% that's available. Just make sure that your body has 100% of all of the minerals that it needs from the 40% that your body can utilize. And forget about the 60% that's going out into the septic tank. Chelated minerals are easily recognized on the label of a multiple vitamin mineral supplement by the amino and acid suffix such as selenium aspartate or chromium picolinate or sometimes as an amino acid chelate. Okay, there you are. So colloidal minerals, chelated minerals, chapter 10, which is the glacial milk story on page 251. This guy again, Dr. Joel Wallach, Post Office Box 1222, Bonita, California, 91908. Telephone number is 1-800-755-4656. We are reviewing his book. That phone number again, 1-800-755-4656. The book is called Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures. Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures. All right, let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information, then go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. All right, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.